Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sabres in a playoff spot? And they only scored a one goal and a win?
Breaking news, playoffs start now.
There we go.
No, not actually. It'd be great, though.
UB football?
In a bowl game?
And they keep
soon,
winning?
Hopefully.
Pete Lembo doing things as a first-year head coach not done since 1897?
Also, real quick, Sean Dolak.
Sean Dolak.
Dude.
Good sports night for Buffalo.
Two interceptions and, and an interception return for a touchdown. And hurdle the dude.
He did hurdle the dude.
Like,
very, very good sports
night
for
Buffalo. Ran across
the
field twice, too, in that return. He starts on the right hash, goes left, goes back to the right, and then... Also, great blocking from
his
teammates.
Sean Dolak did also tweet out the video, and he's like, "Look at that blocking!"
Right, and they're like guiding him too. Like the one guy's like directing him like a you know the airplane guys with the little orange sticks. They're not traffic controllers. That's the guys in the tower. Who are the guys with the sticks?
Just like, not a clue. I know exactly who they are.
You know what I'm talking about.
Not a clue, though.
I don't know what their actual title is, but whoever they are, that's what those defenders for UB did last night for Sean Dolak.
It's beautiful.
And not to mention the 90-yard touchdown to start the game.
To J.J. Jenkins. Yeah. Big plays. Big plays all day.
Awesome night from UB.
Great night for Buffalo sports. Great night for UB and the Sabres. Again, the Sabres, if you don't know, won 1-0 last night over the Kings. They went 1-for-3 on the power play.
Exhilarating.
Zucker again scores a power play goal. That's
also,
what he does.
Sabres penalty kill, 0-5. Or 5-for-5, I should
five
say.
5-for-5.
LA Kings power play, 0-for-5.
We're going to have Paul Hamilton on at 10:30. He's also jumping on from 12 to 1 with Brayton Wilson as well. We're going to have a fun day today. No Sabres Live or One Bills Live as they take off for the Bills bye week today and tomorrow. But yeah, I'm very excited. It was fun to wake up to this morning. I woke up from a text from you, and then it was something about the Sabres, and I was like, the Sabres won? Oh, fantastic! I immediately go to my scorer app, and all right, let's see how they won. They won 1-0?
They closed out a close game.
I was like, what?
Yeah. I got up this morning, too, and I saw, I have, the tweet notifications, and all I saw was... The latest tweet that I had gotten at probably 1:30 in the morning was a tweet from the Sabres, and that's how you get a dub. And I was like, oh, cool, they won.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't look at my phone until I got to work, and I was like, oh, yeah, I should probably check the score, get some highlights. And then I was like, oh, huh. Well, that's
right,
fun.
Right?
And then I watched a condensed game while I'm here, and it's like, oh, man, UPL. Not playing in 10 days, then comes back and gets his first shutout of the year. Good for him.
And again, as you mentioned, The Kings had five power plays. Yeah. 0-for-5 on there. I mean, yeah. Great job
That's
by the defense,
too,
great job by UPL.
The Sabres probably Achilles heel so far has been the fact that they can't stop taking power plays at the worst possible time. And that's like the most frustrating thing if you're a Sabres fan right now is the fact that they take so many penalties. And it's kind of refreshing to see that they can actually kill them off effectively in this game at least. And I'm not sure what LA's power play is, but you know, maybe they're middling. I'm not sure. But the fact that you could stop them, whereas the last time you played them, they did score a power play goal because you took a stupid penalty at the end of the game in the home opener. It's just kind of nice to see them turn that around.
Their power play percentage, though, I think this is after last night, is at 14.3%, which is good for 29th in the league. So, not great.
Yeah, not great.
Not good.
Sabres power play, however, since, what was the date? Jeremy had this earlier.
I mean, regardless.
The Sabres power play has been insane lately.
It's been a top five unit, I believe, but through the whole season now, it is up to 17th in the league, 18.6%.
Wow.
So, I mean, they've
turned it around.
They've turned it around, and they're playing. They're tough. And I did want to start here today just because I said last night on the nightcap before, kind of like a little, giving my little thoughts on the game as I wrapped up the nightcap. They have such poor games against Montreal and Philadelphia, but then such good, you know, bounce back game against St. Louis, good games against the Rangers and what have you. And they just they keep you around is maybe my biggest thing. They keep you invested for a good portion of the season in what they can do. But for them to be able to put these performances up without Tage Thompson, who I think is their one true elite player, at least on the forward lines, It is incredibly, not incredibly impressive, but it is impressive that they're able to do this. They're somewhat taking advantage of a weak Atlantic division. We'll hope now. I mean, I think the LA game was easily their hardest game of this road trip. Now they've got San Jose and Anaheim, both not good teams really at all. They should be able to win both those games. Especially after you get the hardest one out of the way and got it done without Tage Thompson. And even Jordan Greenway's hurt as well, who, I mean, he's fairly important to this team, especially when it comes to, you know, causing turnovers and such.
Yeah. I am interested to see what they're going to do in that back-to-back.
Yeah.
If it really is going to be Reimer, if they're going to just let UPL go.
No, I think in the back-to-back, you're going to get Reimer. The real thing is Levi's not flying all the way over to
no,
do that.
Levi did have a good game for Rochester last night, though. He made a big save on it wasn't an odd man rush, but it was just kind of like a backdoor scenario, and he got over and made a big save. And it's, you know, I saw a tweet at the end of the show yesterday talking about Dustin Wolf, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, for those that don't know, that's Calgary's goaltender. He's, I think, a year or two older than Devon Levi, so he's got a little bit more experience because they've kind of came up the same way.
Yep.
Dustin Wolf played in the WHL, which is where Dylan Cousins came from and a few other Sabres players from the past. But Zach Benson came from the WHL too. So Dustin Wolf was dominant in the WHL. Insanely good numbers, really good goaltender. And then he gets drafted by Calgary, goes to their AHL team. He puts up great numbers in the AHL in his first season, much like Devon Levi did in his first season in Rochester. Plays a little bit for the Flames at the end of that season. Does okay. Mm-hmm. Next year comes in, starts on the Flames, plays 22 games and looks terrible. Goes back to the AHL, does great. Next year he comes back and that's this year. And he's been great. They have really needed him. That Flames team doesn't have much to look forward to recently because you have bad contracts with Jonathan Huberdeau. You don't have Matthew Tkachuk anymore. There's a lot left to be desired if you're the Calgary Flames right now. But the one thing is your young goalie, who was just 22 years old when you tried to force him into the NHL, is now figuring it out.
You talk about that.
Again, look at Devon Levi.
With Calgary's AHL team playing 55 games, just over 2 goals against per game. His save percentage, .932. Saves just over 1550.
Yeah.
Or
no,
just
yeah.
under 1550.
That's the thing, is like he went crazy for them.
And then, last year, I mean, over 3 goals against, under .900 save percentage. And now, this year, he's back to that under.
How many games has he played this year?
He has played 10 games so far.
Okay. Yeah. So he's, I think it's him and. Who's splitting with him? Because it's not Markstrom.
One second, I'll look this up. But yeah,
I mean, always forget that Markstrom's in New Jersey now. It's kind of one of those moves that just kind of happened.
Dan Vladar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Vladar was.
Oh, he's a number in the 80s as a goalie. Oh.
he's one of those. He was a career backup mm-hmm. when yep. he was in Boston, and then he went over to Calgary and kind of. He's kind of a. I don't even know what to call him really. He's like a 1B sort of goaltender. Maybe a little bit worse than a 1B, but still same kind of thing.
He's played in 9 games though.
Yeah. No, he's okay. He's good, but Dustin Wolf is eventually going to be their
guy.
They are
getting good numbers though out of both their goalies. Both under 3 mm-hmm. goals against. Both are in the positive or well, no. Vladar has 4 losses, never mind. But both have a shutout, both over 900 save percentage. I mean, they're getting good numbers out of their
goals. And the Flames are second in the division, which even though I was just saying how much they need to work on some things, they've been winning games.
Good goalies.
I didn't realize they were that good this season so far, because last year they were not good.
Yeah, good goalies are going to get you games. You look, though, at Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen and his stats for the Sabres, and I think that's a big thing for me, too, is he's also a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of argue he's sort of not exactly like Dustin Wolf, but he has also been a guy that he was originally the high, you know, level prospect. Mm-hmm. He was the guy that I think in Cincinnati at the time, their ECL.
Yep, ECHL, yeah.
He was like, that's the guy. You're just waiting for Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen to get here.
I remember the problem when Luukkonen was in the ECHL and even in the AHL, it was almost like he was too fast for those.
Yeah, the timing was not there.
He was not able mm-hmm. to transition to the timing, and it looked so much worse than it was. Like, if you look at his numbers in Cincinnati, he was terrible. Like, it looked awful. But you also look at the highlights, and he'd be getting to where he needed to be, and then just...
But he was early.
He'd be way too early, and then he'd be thrown off, and, you know, stuff happens. But I think the thing with Levi that we have to remember is what I just brought up about Dustin Wolf mm-hmm. there, is the fact that you can have this generational goaltender, but he's only 22. Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen is 25. He's going to turn 26 this season.
That's one of my favorite things, too, is again, Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen is not like he's 32 years old. And you're like, sure, he's in his prime now, but how long?
And what's it actually going to amount to? But this is, I think we're still seeing the ascent of Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen. And I think it's only going to get better with the more opportunity he gets. That's why it's kind of crucial that Levi went down. But it's also good for Levi because he's going to keep playing. He's only an hour away when you're at home. So it's not really that hard to think, hey, if the Sabres have a back-to-back at home, Levi could drive up and mm-hmm. be ready for the next game the next day. You know, obviously, like we were just talking, like out west, there's no way that Levi is going to fly out tonight or tomorrow night yeah. and play on Saturday. That's just kind of crazy. Who knows? They've done it before, but I doubt that would happen. But I look at the Sabres team and seeing what Luukkonen was able to do last year after kind of being the guy, that right there is what makes me excited for the rest of this season, is the fact that you know he gets better the more he plays.
Mm-hmm.
And with this new style that Lindy Ruff has them playing, I really think it's going to benefit Luukkonen and the team itself.
You know, the key for Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen, too, not even the ECHL, his 1 year there, 2019-2020, 23 games played, .912 save percentage, .224 goals against.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. I thought it was...
No, it's the Rochester years.
Oh, that he's okay.
Bad. It's the AHL where it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Most of those are under .900, over Ugh. 3 goals against.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's weird. And then in Buffalo, he's much better.
Yep.
And so your point is still correct in the sense of like it's almost like he was moving too fast for the AHL.
Yeah.
And now with the NHL, it's like, okay, this is perfect speed for me. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
He still has moments where he frustrates me, don't get me wrong. And I think I still have some scar tissue.
The Montreal game was one of them. But at the same time, you have to remember, he was playing hurt in the Montreal game.
Yeah.
Minor hurt, whatever you want to call it.
I think for me, a lot of it is I still have scar tissue from 22-23.
Yeah. When the goalies couldn't make a save at all.
And I do mean that honestly. Like, I think that's a lot of it. And that will, especially for a goaltender, and you know that's such a fickle position that, you know, from year to year it can go. And he didn't start off this year all that awesome.
Yeah.
But really, since then, outside of the Montreal game, in which we found out afterwards, he was kind of dealing with an injury.
Yeah.
Which kept him out for a little while.
10 days.
You know.
And then he comes back and he gets his first shutout of the year, 6th shutout of his career.
Yep.
Also, big thing, he signed for a long term. Yep. Longer term, I should say. He's got 4 years left on his deal. Just signed it in the offseason, that's big.
Now the key is to get Thompson healthy, get mm-hmm. him back. I do like how they're playing that, Josh. I really do.
How much... It's hard because I didn't really get to watch the game. I only saw the condensed version.
Mm-hmm.
how much do you think they're missing Jordan Greenway right now? Because he's been one of those players this year where he's, up until this point, he was just kind of forced into a role that was, wasn't working. But now it seems like Lindy Ruff has found a way to unlock his style of play when he was playing with McLeod and Zucker. And even when he was away from the two of them, like if it was just one of them with him or he was with a line, a completely different line entirely, he's kind of been told to, hey, this is your, this is the way you play. Just do this. We have guys that can do everything else. You got to do this. And that's been great so far. Greenway has been that kind of bruiser, fourth line, third line, checking guy, but he also has the ability to score goals. It's not like, you know, him being on the third or fourth line is a detriment to him. It's the fact that that's where he's the most valuable because he can be on the forecheck. He can create offensive turnovers. He can create offensive opportunities off those turnovers because he does have a little bit of skill to him, but he uses that size to kind of create that offensive skill. But I feel like, again, it's hard because I didn't see the game last night fully, but him as a player like that, I feel like is very valuable for this team in the way they play. Because again, that's kind of how we've always seen Lindy Ruff teams.
I think they're going to miss him. Thompson has been the headline.
Right, obviously, because he's your top producer.
But with Greenway, it's now, it's also sort of a wait, you know, you're kind of in a waiting situation with him because you're like, he is important to them. Mm-hmm. He does cause kind of chaos. He was one of their few bright spots early in the year as well.
And to be fair, too, he's not the only one that plays like this now, though. Because that's the thing in the past, is Sabres teams in the past have had that player, but it's only been one. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to look back, Zemgus Girgensons. As much as we faulted Zemgus Girgensons for all of his negatives, he was great at certain things in terms of physicality and things like that. You only had him, and he wasn't necessarily the best. He wasn't as good as Jordan Greenway is, but he was that type of player for you. But that was all you had. But now you have a guy like Jordan Greenway. You have Jason Zucker, who has been everything this team could have hoped and dreamed for. And you also have Ryan McLeod, who is the most offensive of the three. Zucker is also there, for sure. But I think that Zucker has that bit of edge to him that McLeod doesn't fully have. But Zucker has like more offensive ability than, let's say, Jordan Greenway, right? Yeah. And that's what makes the three of them such a great line, because they all play the same, but they all like improve each other's negatives, and Zucker's kind of that middleman.
Yep. Currently in the Atlantic now, Toronto leads the way, 20 games played, 12 wins, 26 points. Florida, 19 games played, 12 wins, 25 points. Tampa Bay, 17 games played, 10 wins, 21 points. And then the Buffalo Sabres, 19 games played, 9 wins, 19 points.
So you're 2 points behind the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good spot to be in, I think, because the Lightning are one of those teams where you've been waiting so many years for them to fall off.
Yep.
Unfortunately, they go out and got Jake Guentzel in the offseason, so it makes it a little harder, but I think they're definitely someone that you could have topple.
The frustrating thing is just in this month, November, two teams that are below you, and quite comfortably, Detroit and Montreal, you lost to both.
Yeah, yeah, but you did beat Detroit once. It was a 1-1 split,
but in this month, the
Montreal loss, that hurts.
That one hurts, especially, and I was saying here to start the show, too, it's like, this is also a team that beat Calgary, beat the Rangers, destroyed Ottawa, you know, bounced back against St. Louis.
Yeah.
And this is just in this month.
I think those
are wins to be a good playoff team. I don't think just to even be a playoff team, to be a good playoff team, you got to win those games.
Yeah.
Especially Montreal, goalies just didn't show up. Now, we kind of know now is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen had an ailment. That probably did play a part into it. But even then, you scored 5 goals. You need to win that game. Mm-hmm. You need to win that game. Detroit, 2-1 loss. I mean, that's not great.
Especially
for a team that's 8th in goals right now in the league.
The one thing that does hurt you a little bit is that the Atlantic is so painfully bad.
Yeah, so mid. Oh, my goodness.
That you have to wonder what that's going to do for that wild card. Because remember, two metropolitan teams could get the wild card.
Correct.
But right now, the team that's behind you, you're tied with technically. They're behind you because of games played, I think, is the New York Islanders.
Games played are actually both 19.
Oh, okay.
I think so it's going to be goal difference.
It might be goal difference or record because the Sabres have more regulation wins. The Islanders are more.
Yeah, there might be a few things here. The Islanders are 7-7-5. Buffalo's 9-9-1. The goal difference, though, Buffalo +1, Islanders -7.
Maybe that is that then. Tiebreakers get a little confusing sometimes in the NHL.
I only care about them by like March.
Yeah, right. But looking at that though, that's my one worry, is because you look at the top of the Metro, and the best team in the Atlantic is tied for third in the Metropolitan Division. That's the Maple Leafs, who are at 26 points. The best team in the Metropolitan is the Carolina Hurricanes at 28.
Which, surprise, surprise.
Yeah. And the Capitals, where did they come from?
I want to keep an eye on them now. We were all talking about them because of Ovechkin and chasing the goal record. He was also on his fastest pace
ever. Yeah.
That maybe played a part into it of him being the leading NHL goal scorer.
And now he's week to week.
And he's 39.
Yep.
Which his body does not heal that fast. This is the guy that drinks Coca-Cola out of a water bottle during games. I get he's a freak, but it only is going to get you so far.
In terms of Ovechkin breaking the record, this really sucks. In terms of the Capitals' playoff standings and season, it sucks
also
for them.
It
really sucks for them because it's he's been a big bright spot in their team, and also Dylan Strome.
Yes.
Coming in and being the next Nicholas Backstrom is just insane.
Dylan Strome actually leads them in points as well, 22 assists.
Yeah, because he's just assisting Ovi. Yeah. Like, he's just feeding Ovi like Backstrom used to do. So I think that's a big key to their success, and I'm interested to see how this continues as Ovechkin is out now.
They have not yet played without him. They play tonight at home against Colorado.
Okay.
Then they've got Jersey, at Florida, at Tampa. They've got a stretch there.
Yeah.
They've got a stretch there.
Right. And so, I go back to a little bit worried about the fact that the Atlantic looks so much different in points-wise. But it doesn't, just because the Atlantic's bad doesn't mean you have to be bad, right? Like, that's the thing.
My frustrating part yesterday was I was like, but you're also part of the problem.
Right.
You're not part of the solution.
Yeah. But so you look at the Sabres and where they could be in terms of a playoff spot, that third divisional spot is the one to aim for, obviously. It's the most secure. You can guarantee that you're in. The wild card ones just get a little froggy with the two divisions coming together. I wish they just went back to the old, just eight teams. Top eight teams make it. So forget about the divisions. Who cares? There's no rivalries anymore. It's teams you play a lot that beat you up, and then that's it. There's no real rivalries. Unless they've been rivalries for 100 years, like the Canadians and the Bruins.
Everyone in the Bruins.
Or the Battle of Florida or the Battle of Alberta. Like, those are the only real rivalries anymore. Who cares about these divisions? Just get rid of them. Abolish them.
I don't want to make it harder for the Sabres.
No, they wouldn't make it harder. It would make it easier, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Because if you look at the top eight teams right now in the division, or in the conference, I should say. Hold on, I have to pull this up. I'm looking at it in a weird way.
You would be tied with, you're tied with the Islanders and
right,
Boston.
But you're ahead
points.
Of the Islanders.
Yep.
And Boston.
You might be the eighth team currently.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So you got Carolina, Washington, Toronto, New Jersey, New York, Florida, Tampa, Buffalo. Buffalo's the eighth team right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just saying.
For now.
Just saying.
We'll say, though, real quick, why we're talking about playoffs here. I saw a stat. I think it's a lot of people do know it. Like 80% of teams that are in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving make it. And Thanksgiving is next Thursday. It is exactly a week away.
Hey,
and
the Sabres have
two games this week. Their hardest game in the Western road trip was last night.
Yes.
The LA Kings.
Yep.
San Jose is bad. Anaheim is bad.
Let's not write off Anaheim fully yet.
Anaheim is bad.
Nope. I don't want to write them off fully.
Anaheim is bad.
Points-wise, they're not great, but they're also only 1 point less than you in terms of...
They're 8-2.
Yeah.
They've also won three in a row, though. That's a big part of it.
Uh-huh. And you know why most of that is on their goaltender, Lucas Dostal.
Mm.
He was kind of coming up the same time as Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
This man is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen last year. He's 5-6-2. But he's got a .269 goals against and .924 save percentage.
Yeah.
He is working miracles and losing games.
Yes. He is getting his team to the point where here's a win. No, sorry, buddy. We can't win tonight.
Yeah, we're not gonna do that.
Like, that's what it is. And then, you know, they have John Gibson come back from injury too, and he's 3-0. So that's great.
They are 29th in the league in goals.
I know. That's a big problem. Trevor Zegras got on that NHL cover and then forgot how to play hockey.
Did he ever know? That's the question.
I think he did. I don't understand what's wrong with him.
But they've got them on Friday night. That's another Sabres After Dark. That's a 10 o'clock tip-off.
10 o'clock, not 10:30.
10 o'clock puck drop.
Hey, save a half an hour.
It's actually a Friday.
It's a Friday.
There's only two games tonight, too. Jets Penguins at 7 and then you at 10.
Oh, boy.
That's it.
Jets Penguins. Woo!
Jets are kind of cool. And then Saturday.
You're right. The Jets are cool this year.
And then Saturday, again, that's the back-to-back. Mm-hmm. San Jose. San Jose is objectively terrible.
Yes, that I will give you, because Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith are fun, but other than that, they are bad. And hey, but that night, Joe Thornton's number retirement. So if you want to watch that.
That's right. They are 31st in goals against. They've given up 73 already this year.
The Sharks?
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Man.
Let's go.
That's a number.
Although they're pretty good on the penalty kill, 81%.
Great. That's where the Sabres power play streak is going to run to an end. You know it.
It's going to be
you know
against
it.
The Sharks.
There
they'll finally get a ton of calls. They'll have like six chances going for six.
because that doesn't make any sense. Why are the Sharks so good at the penalty kill?
They might not be actually taking many penalties.
That's true. But that's the thing, though, that's so funny about like looking at bad teams is like they can be like the worst team in the league, and then all of a sudden, but they're the best penalty killing team. They just get in the corners and
it's also
and
why hockey's a weird sport, because then like one thing changes next year and you're all of a sudden it's like, no, they're a playoff team.
It's kind of crazy.
They
looking
won 30
at,
games last year, but they're a playoff team now.
It's kind of crazy looking at their goaltenders too, because they have Mackenzie Blackwood and Vitek Vanacek, who have both had great seasons over the past few years, but now it's just not working out. Both of them over 3 goals against. One of them's under in 900 save percentage at .899.
Yeah.
So, tough times for the Sharks. I want them to be good because they're fun when they're good.
They were good when we were younger.
And they were also good recently, too. Remember, it was Vegas' first year in the playoffs.
That's right. Yep.
And it was that series was insane. Yep. I remember watching Cody Eakin just destroy someone in like a really bad hit. Like, it should not have been. He probably should have. I think he did get kicked out of the game, but there was a big fight afterwards. I just remember that specifically from that series.
They were always the team for me, just thinking of like a Western Conference team that just never got over. I mean, obviously we know, but they were always like the best team in the West and would lose then in either the conference championship or the second round.
They were the Bills.
Always the bridesmaid.
They were the Bills to the. And then the Kings were like the Chiefs.
For a little while, the Kings.
Because the Kings were and the Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
And
just always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yeah.
But they'd show up to that wedding season thinking that ring's coming.
Right, exactly. Because like I said, like if you look at, again, this is a very loose comparison, but you look at what the Bills and Chiefs have done over the past few years, and you look at what the Sharks were able to do in the early 2000s, and it's like kind of like, hey, you were always there, but you just never could get there. And
got their nails done.
Yeah.
Got a nice dress.
They were ready to
hired a photographer. Boyfriend doesn't even show up. 803-0550, the number to call. Also, I want to talk a little bit on UB's win last night. And, of course, we do have Thursday night football tonight. It is Thursday night football, though. Not ideal. But coming up after a quick timeout, Paul Hamilton joins the show to talk more on the Sabres' 1-0 win last night over the LA Kings. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Charged with the kill and watching this guy, Kopitar. Nifty stick handling to gain the zone. Kempe to the far circle. Near side post, saved by Lucan. And oh, how did he get that left leg down there to make the stop? Still scoreless in this game.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. One of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen's 23 saves in last night's shutout 1-0 win over the LA Kings. And for more on that, we go to the Wester Hotline. Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, how many cup of coffees are you on already? Late night, early morning, long afternoon. How are we doing today, man?
None. I don't drink or eat caffeine.
Really? I wish I could be like that.
That's crazy. I have to have at least two cups of coffee every
I like day. The smell of coffee. I just can't stand the taste of it.
What about so not even like a coffee-flavored ice cream or like a anything like that?
Well, that's interesting because I don't eat a lot of candy or anything like that, but if you were to ask me what my favorite candy bar is, I would tell you Coffee Crisp. So
huh.
How do you explain that?
That's interesting. Good. I like that.
That's cool.
So, Paul, last night, 1-0 win over the Kings. Zucker, another power play goal. Way to get 2 points, I guess, for me. I got to watch the condensed version, but it seemed like just way to finish it out.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a bit of a boring game. I mean, they only had 3 shots in the second period because they spent most of the second period killing penalties. So they really never could get in the offensive zone to do anything because they were busy killing penalties, which they did a good job of. But again, the penalty problem reared its ugly head. And if they didn't do a good job of penalty killing, we'd be sitting here talking about a loss. So, they Lindy Ruff still has not gotten through to them yet as far as penalties go. Between the 18:35 mark of the first period and the 16:12 mark of the second period, they gave Los Angeles four power plays. And then they gave another one in the third. But the good news is the Kings only got four shots in the five power plays. So the Buffalo did a very nice job of killing penalties, and they had to, or they wouldn't have won the game.
Yeah, it seemed like a very good defensive effort. You said there, I mean, the Kings go 0 for 5 on the power play. The Sabres, though, how much, Paul, do you think they're missing Tage Thompson? This is a team that is top 10 in goal scoring up to this point this year, but just one goal last night, or is this them, for the second time against L.A., kind of getting goal lead and just being able to get one past them?
Well, they're 2-1 without Thompson so far in these three games. I still scratch my head how the two goalies weren't the number one and two stars in that game. They weren't. I thought if you ask who was the best player for either team, it was their goalie. Rittich in the first period, both goalies had played very well in the first period. Rittich didn't have much to do in the second period, but Rittich in the third, other than the one goal, which the only goal of the game was a tip. You know, other than that, the two goalies couldn't be beaten. So I thought they both played very, very well. Made some great saves along the way. Lukanen more than Rittich did. But it was a night of a goaltender's, I thought.
Paul, it was a big night for Lukanen, coming back 10 days not playing and then getting his first shutout of the year. I mean, it's a pretty good performance. It's basically all you could ask for and more. Especially after sending Devin Levi down like that, it was a much-needed goaltending performance.
Well, he was on his way. I mean, he had played 9 of 10 games. If you take the Montreal game out of the equation, which is a game he played hurt in and then got pulled after 40 minutes, he stopped all 23 shots last night. Calgary stopped 24-26. The Rangers 25-26. Ottawa 37-38. And Detroit 21-23. So he had started this going once he started playing more. It's as simple as that. He has to play for him to be effective. And, he played 9 out of 10 games, and he started playing like he did last year. And if you go down the stretch last year, he played more than any other goaltender in the NHL. And that's when he really thrives, is when he's able to do that.
So on that, with them having a back-to-back Friday, Saturday, Anaheim, San Jose, do you think Reimer gets in Saturday, or are they just going to maybe ride the hot hand with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen? As you said, like he plays well.
Yeah, can he go 3 and 4? I would think, since he's well rested, he probably could. He didn't have a lot of shots per se last night, but he did have to make some great saves last night. That's for sure. I would think Reimer probably plays one of the games, that's not for sure. And I think, I would think for sure Lukanen probably gets the next game. And then they see, how many saves did he have to make? How did he do? Could he do it the next night or not? Don't forget, too, it's a night game going into an afternoon game, which probably would say Reimer would get the game.
Paul, it looks like both sides of special teams were pretty good last night, but the power play has really turned things on here in recent games. What have you seen that's been different than what we saw in the beginning of the year where they couldn't score a goal? And, I mean, now it's what? It's like 7 straight games with a power play goal?
Yeah, I mean, remember in the beginning of the year, they couldn't even get into the zone. Now, the second power play last night, they couldn't get into the zone at all. And that looked like some of the power plays in the beginning of the year. And you're right, it is 7 straight games, and now they have power play goals in 10 out of the last 11. And they're fourth in the league going into last night in that time period on the power play. And one of the biggest things is they have a guy now, like they used to have Reinhart. Reinhart's one of the best players in the NHL at tipping pucks. And they've missed that since he's been gone. And Zucker is very good at it also. He got the Sabres' first power play goal of the season on a tip. He tipped the one last night. He's very good with the hand-eye coordination. And, you know, that's what it took to get the goal. So I think that's part of it. He's around the net. I think the fact that a lot of guys are around the net. I think back to Cousins' power play goal where he's right off to the post and a rebound comes right to him and he puts it in the net. You know, they've scored in different ways. I mean, Dahlin had two in a row going into this game because he shot the puck. And there were guys at the net screening the goaltender. And he shot the puck, and sure enough, you know, it went in for him. So getting guys around the net, learning how to actually get into the zone, not insisting upon every single time that we're going to skate up and skate through the defense that's lined up on the blue line, understanding that sometimes you got to maybe dump it into certain areas and use your speed to get in there and get in on the forecheck and start that way. So because they were pretty bullheaded in the beginning of the year where they were going to carry the puck in no matter what. And teams figured that out. And teams also figured out if you rush them, they'll turn the puck over. And they've stopped that also. There's not near as many turnovers as they're working the puck over. But the biggest thing is they're winning battles. If you're on the power play, you have to win battles. You can't just get one chance and it's gone because you didn't win a battle to keep things going and keep it inside the zone.
On a more negative note, Paul, Jack Quinn, second lowest amount of ice time last night, only surpassed by Yuri Kulik, just over 10.5 minutes. Where do they go with him? I mean, we're talking about guys like Zucker being able to tip goals in and what have you. The only goal, and I heard you talking about this with Sheldon Bulldog yesterday, his only goal is an empty netter. He had two shots on goal last night, but it's getting to a point. I've been saying it, he's maybe not trusting his body yet. This can't keep going, though.
No, it's to a point now where you've got the extra guys, a former number one pick. He was the Amherst leading scorer before he, you know, showed up. Maybe it's time to take another look at him. It's just to a point now. Now, one of his two shots was dangerous last night, but it's the first time in a while I could say he had a dangerous opportunity. He's not even getting scoring opportunities anymore, which I think is concerning. So, you know, you look at that, no scoring opportunities. They don't really use him all that much on the penalty kill anymore. In past years, he's been one of their best penalty killers. They don't even use him to kill penalties anymore. So, you know, it's just the wheels are spinning. You got an extra guy here. He's one of your young players. Maybe give him another chance again because it's to a point the Sabres, I don't think, could afford to let him try to play out of it anymore. That's what they've been trying to do, is just let him try to play out of it, and it's just not working right now.
Could this be something they do like once they get back home? Obviously, they're out west now, but it's a rather short road trip. Could this be something, you know, next week, send him down? Because I'm at that point too, Paul. He's got to just get his confidence back. I mean, maybe go down to Rochester, score a few goals there, bring him back up. Because, yeah, right now, it feels like nothing's happening for him. Where you have guys like Isak Rosén, Yuri Kulik, they're performing well.
Rosén hasn't had a chance yet, so.
No, I mean in Rochester.
And Kulik finally got a chance to play center in the NHL, which is something he hadn't gotten the opportunity to do. So, you know, they're bringing him along. You know, he's not producing either, if you want to bottom line it. I mean, he's coming along. He's learning, but you're not getting any production whatsoever out of him. And you're trying to put him in a top six position. At least he's getting some scoring chances, you know, Quinn is not. And that's the thing. I mean, he's got an elite shot. Last year, he only played around 27 games, but he was on almost a 30-goal pace in those games. And, you know, he has an elite shot, which helps him score goals. But, I just don't know. I don't know if injuries have just taken a toll on him. I don't know if his confidence is shot because of injuries, if he's, you know, if he's worried about, you know, whether he can, you know, score or not. You know, he comes down on the rush, and very often he'll stop and curl instead of trying to use his speed to keep going. That's usually a guy whose confidence isn't real high. You know, when the stop and curl, it's almost like that's a crutch move. And I don't know how long Lindy Ruff's going to go with this.
Yeah, it's been hard to watch. Last year, 27 games played, Paul, like you said, 9 goals, 19 points as well. I mean, he was a real bright spot when he was on the ice. But, Paul, you're also going to be on at 12 o'clock today with Brayton Wilson. What do you guys got cooking up for today?
Rob Ray will join us at 12:30. And we also are on tomorrow when Dan Dunleavy will join us at 12:30. So we have the Sabres broadcast team who will join us and give their words of wisdom. I know Rob is a very serious person. He will not bust my chops at all. That's not his nature to try to be funny or, give me a hard time. So he'll be entertaining, that's for sure.
Should be a lot of fun. Look forward to that. It's from 12 to 1 today and Friday. Paul, thanks so much for jumping on with us. We'll talk again later.
No problem. Take care.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Western Hotline. And Paul's reports on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Zach, do you know what today is the anniversary of?
I saw you tweet it, so I'm going to let you say it.
6 years ago today, and I just quote tweeted this, the Sabres won a game. They scored 4 goals in the first period and won their 7th straight game in a row, on their way to winning 10 games in a row.
Thompson scored in this game.
Thompson was Tage pulled off a Tage goal before he was Tage.
Like, he was just kind of like a guy.
Yeah, but the goal he scored was very much what he scores now on a regular basis.
I just watched it, and I'm like, oh, I don't remember that at all. Not in these dark blue uniforms.
Right, because that was like his first time doing that.
Yeah.
Also, something that's mind-boggling to me, because he's one of my favorite Sabres ever, if not my favorite Sabre ever, Jason Pominville was on this team. It's mind-boggling to me that Jason Pominville was almost on every decade so far in the 2000s. He was in the early 2000s, in the 2010s, almost made it to the 2020s, but he retired after this season in 2018, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So, great career, Jason Pominville.
I'm waiting for the Tage Thompson goal to come back, because it is really cool, like, to just see, like, this is a young version of him. Yeah, it uses his body.
Seeing some of these players,
goes
too.
Goes right to the net.
I remember Johan Larsson scoring this goal. It's the 4th goal, like 7 seconds to go in the period. And he just rips it over whatever the Flyers goaltender's name is. I don't even know who it is at this point. But he just crazy no angle shot and just puts it top shelf. And it's like, I remember that too, of being like, wow, this Johan Larsson kid's pretty good.
Well,
super excited for him.
Super excited for him.
Then he gets traded to Arizona.
The life of a Sabres fan. 803-0550, the number call. You want to talk more on the Sabres win last night and what they've got coming up? Love to talk about that. We'll also touch on the Bills as well. We haven't really been able to do that at all today. I want to talk about the AFC playoff race. I think that's really exciting and kind of how that's shaping up. We'll do that as well. And, of course, UB football. We have not gotten a touch yet on that, but a very impressive stat I want to talk about here as well. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Mint on the Northtown Automotive Expo Point Show. This is WGR.
It's the most wonderful time.
Welcome back into the Extra Point Show. We are a week away from Thanksgiving, so it's socially acceptable to start playing Christmas music. I've been playing it since November 1st. Zach, guess what I did yesterday?
This is really gross by you. What'd you do yesterday?
I decorated my apartment for Christmas. I'm ready. It's here.
Are you a fake tree guy?
Well, we had a fake tree last year because it was our first year in the apartment, and we weren't sure how the cats were going to react to it. So we are talking about getting a real tree this year because the cats were nice to the tree last year. So, hey, think we're going to get a real tree. So we don't have the tree yet, but everything else is up. The garland, the lights, decorations, everything.
Not even giving Thanksgiving its due.
We had the Yule log on the TV. We had Christmas records on the record player, Bing Crosby, Charlie Brown.
That is good, though. That is good.
Nothing more soothing than a Yule log and Bing Crosby singing White Christmas.
On December 1st.
November 20th for me.
November 20th.
Zach.
Not even giving Thanksgiving its due. We have still not even sniffed snow yet.
What do you mean? I'm having 2 Thanksgivings next week. I'm giving it enough of its due. 3 Thanksgivings, actually.
That's too many. You got to start cutting down on friends and family.
Well,
Just be like, no. I love you guys, but no.
Well, to be fair, probably it's going to be like decision. It's probably going to be like 1 or 2.5 because, you know, you do the whole like trying to drive from place to place to place, and it's not all on the same day.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
like it's I do like a late lunch with my parents and my other my family, and then then I go to my girlfriend's, and they're usually like wrapping up dinner, so I'm having dessert with them. So it's like 1.5 there, and then it's a second one. You know, later in the weekend.
This is my first Thanksgiving where I'm gonna have to go to multiple places.
It's a grind.
It's an event. Yeah.
It's tough. Like you gotta pace yourself. You gotta be ready for multiple meals and multiple different types of food because not everyone has the same thing or makes it the same way. But hey, decorating for Christmas.
Not even giving it to Just Do though.
What are you talking about?
Christmas music already. Christmas and Thanksgiving are not a part of the same.
What's wrong with Christmas music?
Nothing's wrong with Christmas
exactly.
music.
Exactly.
Play at the correct time.
Nope.
Play it at the correct time.
The correct time is now.
No.
Let this Thanksgiving happen. This is when happen. I can make it a little bit acceptable. Where
you're a
I'm
week
like,
away. Last year at this time, we had 3 feet of snow on the ground. 2 years ago, we had 5 feet of snow on the
which
ground.
Which means don't tempt fate.
I'm ready.
We're doing okay.
I am ready. Bring it on. Give me 20 degrees and snow. Not a lot. Just a little. I don't want 2 feet, 3 feet. Just give me a foot. Give me a nice blanket.
No.
And manageable, too. Not all at once. I want it over like the course of like 3 days. Don't just dump it all at once in 2 hours and then melt it 3 days later. That's the one thing that infuriates me the most about winter lately is we get all this snow and then it melts in like a week. Or it melts and then it refreezes and you turn into a sheet of ice.
Oh,
and that's how you almost break your ankle like I did 2 years ago on Thanksgiving. You remember that?
Yeah. Cause you,
I was on my way here to work Bill's Lions for Thanksgiving 2 years ago. Almost broke my ankle. Had to just spend most
that
of the
text,
morning in the ER.
The text hit at 7:30 in the morning. Hey, guys. So, news.
my ankle might be broken. But
wasn't bad or good news, just news. And all of us, including Derek Kramer, were like, oh, well, okay, Josh isn't coming in. Something terrible has happened.
I broke something during warm-ups, and now I'm in inactive.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here for another hour on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.